Hi, I'm Doug Weitz.
And I'm Gabe Gloke.
And this is Learning at Work.
Each episode, we talk with a different professional about some obstacle they face at their job.
Then we sort of judo flip it into an opportunity to build new and valuable skills.
And this is called an iris meeting. Why do we call it that?
Why do we call it that?
We'll explain that later.
So let's get to this week's iris meeting.
Right. So this week's guest is our producer,
Marin.
Yes. So Marin asked us about this podcast and how it works. And we said, frankly, the best way to understand an iris meeting is to just experience it and go through it.
Yeah. And she's a professional just like everybody else. She's got obstacles at work.
Right. Just like anybody else. So why not make the first episode Marin's iris meeting? So Marin, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Marin. I'm a radio producer. I kind of took the circuitous route of getting there. I was a classical singer for a long time. I worked in book publishing for a little while and then in arts administration, but found my way to public radio, which was a longtime dream, and produce a whole bunch of things, short form features, long form features, and I do some hosting as well. My favorite part about my job is absolutely interviewing artists, because there's a real sense of connection and personal intimacy that can happen when you get in a room with someone. And the whole reason that I enjoy working in radio in the first place, and the reason I enjoyed being a singer and I enjoyed literature, you know, basically all of the things that I love, the thing that I love about those things is purposeful communication and personal connection. So the closer that I can get to the beating heart of those two passions, the happier I am. And the one-to-one interview kind of gets right in there.
So this is an iris meeting. So the purpose of an iris meeting is for us to help you to figure out what you want to do to improve yourself moving forward over the course of the next week or 2 weeks. And we do that by finding a focus, by defining actions that you're going to take, and by laying out a vision of what you imagine the future will look like if you take these actions. So let's start with a focus. So when you think about your life and your work, is there a tension that you're feeling, meaning something that's sort of gnawing at you, that's sitting on your shoulder? I think of it like a little monster sitting on your shoulder.
I suffer from perfectionism across the board, but certainly in the work that I do. You know, there will be cases where, you know, my supervisor will say, this really doesn't have to be perfect. The end result of this, the way that people are going to hear this on the air, for instance, on the radio, just means that it doesn't have to be perfect, and it's not worth you spending the time that it would take to make it perfect. Mm. That's a message that I have a hard time not hearing, but accepting. I just don't want to produce that work. And not to say that there is such a thing as perfect. I recognize that that doesn't exist.
Right, but the pursuit of perfection.
Right, to the best of my ability, right? I need to listen to it and have it sound like it's the best thing that I could have produced.
And it seems like you're implying that that's a bad thing. Why is that a bad thing?
Because in some cases, maybe it's more of a priority to do something quickly than it is to do it perfectly. And, you know, I've never missed a deadline, so it's not an issue that's affecting my work life in that way. But I've spent many, many, many hours working. And maybe more than I needed to, because I was not able to turn out a product that felt like less than I could do.
So is it sort of the stress that comes out in the process of putting way more time into it than you probably have to?
Two things. One is there have been periods of a 6 month period last year where my life was way, way out of balance. And there was definitely stress associated with that, you know, way too little sleep, lots of stress hormones all the time, which I could kind of sense how worked up I was. And it didn't prevent me from doing the work, but I have a hard time believing that it was a healthy way to live. Mm. And I'm interested in having some balance and treating myself a little bit better than that. But I can let my interest in doing good work and a lot of work take priority over some of the other important life things.
Great. So the process that we go through here is threefold. So we've got finding a focus. We've just found the focus. And we just sort of explored what was on your mind. And then we turn to actions, right? So it's lovely to have a focus. It's lovely to want to improve yourself or improve a situation. But if you don't actually have concrete actions in place to do something about it, then it just sort of falls into the category of like whining to your friend at the bar. You know what I mean? And that's not what this is about. This is about making something you want to focus on actionable so you can change your circumstances, even incrementally.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, what are the other things that you would love to be able to do if you had time?
You know, in strange ways, they're also tied to perfectionism. like, I wish I could exercise more and harder. And I used to spend like an hour every day just sort of walking and thinking and just being quiet. And I think that having that kind of space in my life, in my day, in my mind was good and healthy and maybe allowed me to be more creative than I am when I'm just kind of on the gerbil wheel running really fast. So
you're sharpening the saw.
Yes. So time to sharpen the saw and time to just get in better physical condition. Like those are the two big ones.
Yeah. I think it would be a misnomer to characterize perfectionism as quote unquote the problem. Like that's not the problem. The problem is the lack of balance in your pursuits, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So actions. Let's turn to actions. What can you do this week? This week. There are only 5 days in 5 work days in a week, or we could call it 7 if you like. What can you do in order to move the needle on this, if ever so slightly? And try to be as concrete as you can.
So one of the ways this manifests for me is that I arguably over-prepare for things. So for instance, if I'm going to do an interview, I like want to read and watch every interview this person has done, you know, just so I like get to know them as well as I possibly can so that I can come up with questions that they haven't been asked before. Like there's this hunger to consume all of the information that I can. And I feel that I need to do that before I'm really ready to take more active steps. I mean, consuming information is not passive, but before I can be generative, I spend maybe more time than I need to consuming information, lots of research.
So what actions can you take?
So a concrete action, I could take fewer notes in my preparation process. I don't know that I'll be able to immediately kick the habit of reading and watching and taking it all in, but rather than reading, watching, taking it all in, taking copious notes and then coming up with questions and a structure, I could take it all in.
Just kind of down, try to internalize it as best you can.
Yes.
Live.
And then just write down my questions. I could dispense with the insane note-taking that I do.
I wish I could see your notes. let's imagine there is an interview coming up. You're going to listen to interviews, watch interviews, read interviews, but you're not going to take notes. You're just going to write down your questions.
Not 10 pages of notes.
Great. So shifting to the vision is really a way to create a pathway in your brain for a future that you want, right? So assume you are going to do this. What does the future look like? How do you feel as a result? What has changed? What's life like on the other side?
I'm going to look backward to look forward. So the most recent example of this was this past weekend, a Facebook Live on Sunday. And had I done this differently for that, I would not have spent several hours on Saturday and woken up very early on Sunday to write lots and lots of notes and prepare. I would have gotten more sleep. I would have had a weekend, because as it was, I really didn't.
What would you have done with the weekend?
You know, I would have gotten my apartment in order. I moved like 6 months ago, and I'm still, it still doesn't feel like I've really moved in because I've been working so much. So, you know, maybe I would have taken some of that time to get more things in order than are in order currently. I would exercise more. I would actually catch up on some sleep. And maybe I would have spent some time with people that I care about.
All right, great. So when you think about that image of the future, that vision of the future, is that exciting and inspiring to you? Like, do you want to live in that world?
I do want to live in that world. The feeling that I have is that I would be a better person for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the feeling. It doesn't feel like excitement. It just feels like that would be more right.
Yeah. Like, I'm thinking of a scale, right? On one side of the scale, you've got the thing you're asking yourself to do, which you probably don't want to do, because if you wanted to do it, you would have done it by now, right? Versus the vision of the future on the other side of the scale. And if the vision of the future is heavier and more inspiring and more right, as you say, then the sort of chore or the fear or whatever it is of doing the thing you're laying out to do, then you'll do it. If the chore, if the actions are more or heavier than the vision, you probably won't. You know?
Yeah.
So you want to set yourself up for success by being inspired by that future enough that you're actually going to take the action. Do you think it's realistic that you will do this?
Yes.
Great. Okay. What you've just done is written a commit. Your focus, your action, your vision. Once you do this, once you take these actions, what I'd ask you to do is write an outcome. And next time we connect and you've taken these actions, I would ask you about your outcome. So how did it turn out, right? Because the vision is aspirational and it's future oriented. You don't know how this is going to work out. You have a hope and a vision for how it's going to work out, but you don't know for sure how it's going to work out. So the outcome is a really important part of sort of closing out a commit and figuring out what you can learn from your vision versus the actual outcome. It can also really be a great way to inform your next commit, because you might find that the next thing you want to commit to is an outcropping of the outcome of what you just committed to. But we'll visit that when the time comes. Do you feel good about this?
Yeah, I do.
Great. That's an Iris meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's take a step back now and look at that iris meeting through the lens of the iris itself. The iris is a tool that visualizes the different activities that make up your work and your professional abilities. It's not admittedly a very podcast-friendly concept, given that it's visual, but think of it kind of like a selfie of your skills.
One of the things that stuck out to me right away was how forthcoming Marin was.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like the second I explained tension, and I probably explained it for too long, tension, pressure, improvement, all that stuff. The second I said, when you think about this, is there something that comes to mind? She was like, I thought you'd never stop talking.
Yeah.
Yes, I had it 60 seconds ago, you fool.
Right.
Which is, I don't know what to make of that, but it's interesting.
This is probably an old friend of hers. That's my guess.
Perfection, yes.
I mean, I know it is for me. Like,
yeah,
I know.
Finally, someone's asking.
I know my
asking.
Perfectionism yeah, yeah, quite yeah. well. Yes, yes.
Yeah, so the fact that it immediately came to her, but what didn't seem to immediately come to her was what to do about it. I mean, like you said, it seems like it's an old friend,
yeah.
Which means she's been sort of wrestling with it, maybe on the outskirts of her life, never directly dealing with it, but in some way wrestling with it for a long time, and yet was still sort of hungry for a way to beat it.
Why do you think that is? Why is it so? I mean, Marin's not unique in this. Like, we've seen this with a lot of other people. We see it in ourselves. Why is it hard to articulate that?
It's hard to face something that we've become so familiar with. Like, in other words, I think even though in Marin's case, perfectionism is something that she wants to get better at controlling, I guess, if she actually did get better at controlling it, she'd lose a part of what makes her Marin.
Hmm.
You know? I mean, that's a part of who she is. She's somebody who does things really, really well, you know? But what is clear that she's noticing is that in doing things really, really well, she's sacrificing other aspects of her life. And that's screwing up her balance, right? So it's not that she has this desire to start doing things poorly, right? It's that she has a desire to do things as well as she can while still maintaining balance.
I'm just too good.
Right.
I, I think the abstract nature of the concept of perfectionism is a big part of it too. Our brains are like these databases, right? And they capture all these experiences and they sock them away. And our subconscious kind of processes them. And then these things bubble up to the top. Things like, oh, I'm a perfectionist, right? Or, I'm always late. Or and they're these sort of abstract tensions. And what I think helped with this, as it does with every IRIS meeting, is saying, okay, where does this show up?
Yeah.
Right? Is getting at the activity itself. And there's probably a number of activities where this shows up.
But you don't have to find them all. You just have to find one.
You got to find one.
Because all you're looking for is a place to start.
Yeah.
Right? There is no, and I hope I didn't make Maren feel like this, but there is no promise that simply by not taking notes during her next preparation for an interview, she's going to eliminate her issue with perfectionism.
Right.
Like, that's not going to happen. But what will happen, hopefully, is that, number one, she feels like she did something. And it can't be underestimated how empowering it feels to feel like you actually took action and did something.
Yeah. It's the inability to do that that is usually so crushing, right?
It's paralyzing.
It's paralyzing, right? That abstract nature of like, Jesus, is this huge thing that I can't wrap my arms around, I can't wrap my head around, whatever, and I'm never gonna tackle it, right?
Yeah, it's too big. Why bother starting?
Yeah,
right. Yeah. But if we can start with this one thing, right, and a week later we'll talk again, and what I'll ask her, and you'll see this at the beginning of the next episode, is how did it go? You did that one thing, you know, not taking notes during your prep for your interview. How did it feel?
Yeah.
What came out of it? You know, what did you notice about yourself? What did you learn about yourself? And then the question becomes, what do you want to do next? Right?
Yeah. Well, it's a lot like exercising or practicing. If you're, I'm a musician, come from a musical background, and that I can really relate to this in that way, is there would be some aspects of my playing that I was frustrated with. And it would be sort of an abstract thing, like, I don't feel like I'm keeping time well enough, or I'm having trouble with particularly fast stuff, or my fills aren't kind of doing what I want them to. And it would come to me as this sort of abstract frustration, and I would have to find a way to isolate that issue, even if it was a false isolation, but just something constructed, right? Like you would create some simple exercises. And you didn't even know if they were going to be, quote, the right exercises. You just knew that it was something that you could take action on. You know, you break it down into something very, very simple, and then work that thing, that small, simple thing that was right at the edge of your ability, and slowly kind of move that edge outwards, right? And then when you would sit back down to play again, you'd start to notice this change in your ability. And so finding that activity was like finding the exercise, right? Yeah.
So what else about the IRIS meeting did you find that jumped out at you?
Well, I just think the general concept of edge. I mean, I mentioned it a second ago in terms of your abilities, but edge is a key concept that we talk about a lot in our work and with our clients, and it really comes down to self-awareness. And you could have it on multiple levels. In this particular case, it's an individual level. And so there's edge in terms of her abilities, those abstract things. And so perfectionism, or maybe tolerance of ambiguity, might be the kind of flip way to say that, is that thing that she's now much more aware of. Well, she was fairly aware of the perfectionism issue, but right. But like knowing that is an issue, and there's probably a handful of other abilities that she, like everyone else in the world, you know, wants to get better at, and having a clear awareness and being able to articulate what those are is one aspect of edge. I think the activity itself, knowing where that thing shows up in your work life and being able to clearly describe and figure out where it is, you know, that like my perfectionism shows up in the amount of notes that I take when I prepare for an interview. That's an incredibly articulate edge in that particular area. And that's really empowering. I think edge is a process. Edge is a dialogue, because where you need to work is in many cases like constantly evolving. There are some things that I think we always struggle with, you know, like me writing timely emails. I'll probably be working on that till the day I die. But as you grow and develop and evolve as a professional, like there's always new things that, like, your edge is always expanding. And so now you have to know where it is, and you have to have that dialogue either with somebody else or with yourself. I mean, I journal a lot as a way to get to my edge. That's one of the things that Iris does for us. Right. And so I think for some people that don't maybe have that partner to dialogue with, it's very useful. And sometimes it's just useful to, like, get out of your own head and have a sounding board.
So I think, like, the point that we're trying to make, and or what came out of Marin's Iris meeting, is two things. Number one, she had a really high level of self-awareness, and that's, you know, about something that she needed to work on and about where it emerges in her work, where it shows up, you know. That's something to strive for. I don't have that.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you articulate the ability or the activity that is frustrating you right now as the obstacle? Use those concepts of some kind of abstract ability or a concrete activity that is the obstacle that you're struggling with. And then action, right?
Action. Yeah. No, but I think what we got to in the Iris meeting was just helping her to find one small thing she could do this week.
Just one thing.
Just one thing.
Yeah.
And if she starts there, we'll see where it goes. You know, we'll talk about that next time.
I should do this myself.
Well, I would urge all of our listeners to try it.
All three of our listeners.
Which is the three of us. I mean, if there is a tension at work for you, which likely there is if you are human, try to think about how that tension shows up. You know, think about where it rears its ugly head. What activity are you doing when you notice it? And see if you can't come up with one small action you can take that is an experiment that might alleviate some of that tension. And if it does, great, keep doing it. And if it doesn't, great, don't do it anymore.
Figure out why, right? That'll lead you to the next
action. Find another one. Exactly. Well, that's our show.
A big thanks to our producer, Marin Lazian, who was our first guest and, of course, makes us sound way smarter than we really are.
If you'd like to be a guest on this podcast and get your own Iris meeting, just send an email to podcast@cultivateme.xyz.
You can find more episodes and subscribe on iTunes or, you know, wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Learning at Work. I'm Gabe Gloga.
And I'm Doug Weitz. Thanks for listening.